Well, greetings to you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. My name is Kevin Porter, and we've made it to the fourth tape. Bless God forever. You've made it this far. And I trust you are learning. You've begun to learn about how to prepare yourself. That you've got to live a holy life. Hallelujah. Because he's the Holy Spirit. You got to get to the holy part before you get to the spirit part, right? And we're preparing ourselves by studying the Word, by filling our minds with the Word. Because if I'm carnally minded, I'm not going to see any results. It's just going to be death. But if I'm spiritually minded, I'm going to have life and peace. Hallelujah. So I want to fill my mind up with the Word, and I want to keep myself full with God's Word. And I'm praying in tongues at least an hour a day. I'm spending that time during the morning, where I get in the presence of God and I pray in tongues. I fight through that soulish resistance that's there, and I get into the presence of God and I pray in tongues. And at that time, I'm seeking Him. I'm seeking Him, and I'm seeking His gifts, His anointings that will make me effective for the ministry that I have that day or that week or that month or that, you know, that situation that I'm in, that trip that I'm on. Whatever it is. You see, we go into the presence of God with a purpose to worship Him and to receive from Him those things that we need so that we can be successful in His service. See? And that's what the Word of God says. It says we're to covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, there's no gift of God that's better than any other gift, despite what preachers may say or despite what your emotions may tell you. There's no gift of God that's better than any other gift. It's the gifts that you need in those particular situations. That is the best gift. See, right now I need the ministry of a teacher. Hallelujah. I need that gifting in my life. And I pray and I believe God, and God has anointed me in that way. And I believe that I am able to teach effectively so that I can help to impart to you the healing anointing so that you can go and be an effective minister of Jesus Christ. So you get into the presence of God to receive those gifts that you need, that you know that you need, and that God knows that you need, that He can even tell you that you need. That's right. So that you are prepared that day with the anointing of God. And then you continue to pray in tongues throughout the day. Hallelujah. And you're building yourself up. So you're becoming very strong. Hallelujah. You are becoming a very strong person in the Lord, in Christ. As Mickey said to Rocky, you're becoming a dangerous poison. Hallelujah. That's right. You're dangerous to the enemy. Bless God forever. Because you're filled with the Spirit, and you're speaking much in tongues, and you're filled with the Word. Jesus said, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. So it's absolutely essential that we have both. That we have both the Scriptures and the power of God, that we're full of the Word. Because remember, the Lord said as well, it says, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is shall man live. Hallelujah. Not just the word here, there, and yonder, but by every word from Genesis to Revelation. You need to have it in your heart. You need to know it. Bless God forever. And there's much Scripture that you even need to memorize. Bless God forever. And that will help you, and it will strengthen you. And you go into the presence of God, as I've taught you, and you receive those gifts. Now, among those gifts may be the gift of healing that you need that day. See? And if you know you're going to go minister to somebody, you know you're going to be preaching or teaching, I would be seeking that gift so that God can equip me, so that God can anoint me. It doesn't mean that gift can't come upon you at a later date, but at least when you go out of being in the presence of God, you have sought earnestly the gifts of the Spirit, and God's going to anoint you with those things that you need. Bless God forever. You're going to receive the anointing. You see, where there's been so much mystery about the things of the Spirit of God. I mean, I listen to preachers and teachers at times, and I wonder, you know, why does it seem so mysterious There's really no mystery about it at all. These things are very plain in the Word of God. These things that I've been showing you are very plain and very simple. And if you'll just take the time to do what I'm telling you to do, by faith, you're going to receive the anointing. You're going to receive the Spirit of God without any mystery to it, without any, wondering whether I got it or I don't got it, or, all this kind of stuff, wondering if it's going to work or if it doesn't going to work. It's going to work. See, you receive it. You receive a gift such as I have, give I thee, Peter said, such as I have. He'd received that gift, that anointing of healing to give to that man at that moment, and such as I have, I give in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. See, victory is in the prayer room. Victory in healing, victory in miracles, victory in ministry, victory in witnessing, victory in any category of your life is in the prayer room. That's where you receive the victory. Then you just go out and you walk into it. You just go out and you walk into it. And so we're preparing ourselves. We're receiving the anointing. Then we're learning how to prepare others. Hallelujah. We're learning how to prepare others. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, when the blind man came to him, he said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" In other words, he put the requirement of faith upon them. See? So, and we have to help people with their faith. We have to help people with their faith. We have to show walk in wisdom and love and being wise as serpents, but yet harmless as dove. We have to walk in such wisdom that people can get their faith built. Hallelujah. Now, I told you that story about the middle-aged woman who had been in the wheelchair, and she was in the walker, and then that situation happened to her, and I gave her that word, and that word was just the word that she needed to release her faith so that she could receive the promise of God. Now, you can do the same thing, especially when you're full of the Word. Especially when you're full of the Word and you're full of the Spirit. You won't be grasping for things to say. It'll flow out of you like a river. It'll just flow out of you. You see, most of us have tried to walk in power, and we've been like a dry stream bed. Hallelujah. Not much power in a dry stream bed. That's right. You need rushing rivers of water flowing out of you. Then you're going to have plenty of power. See? But so if you're like a dry stream bed and you're trying to minister to others, nobody's going to get a drink out of you. Hallelujah. So you need to get full. You need to get filled. You need to be overflowing. You need to be full of the abundance of God. So spend much time speaking in tongues. I suggest an hour a day, but really that's only a minimum. That's only a minimum. I mean, I've seen people speak in tongues, and I've done this many, many times where I've spoken in tongues 2, 3, 4 hours in the day, and I am just ready to heal a fence post, bless God forever. Why? Because I'm full of the life. The life of God is flowing in me, and I'm flowing in Him. You see, God says that He's the fountain of living waters. He's the fountain of living waters. And this fountain, He's within us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, we got to tap into that fountain, and we got to let that fountain flow through us. Then it'll bring life wherever you go. If you ever get a chance to fly an airplane, which I do on occasion, bless God forever, especially flying into desert places like Africa, almost all Africa seems to be a desert. But you'll fly over rivers, let's say, and you'll see that wherever the river goes, there's green life. There's life. There's green. There's trees growing. There's grass. There's other flowers. This kind of thing. They're all growing on the banks of that river. See? And the reason what that shows me is that wherever the river is, there's life. Wherever the river is, there's life. You see, if you're a dry stream bed, then you're not going to, nobody's going to get any water from you. Everything's going to dry up around you. Hallelujah. But you have the fountain of living waters in you, and you need to release that fountain. You need to release that fountain. See, you really need to release God in your life, and where you, when, as you do, what's going to happen is there's going to be life. People are going to live. Wherever you go, the people are blessed. But really, wherever you go, the people live. Bless God forever. See? Now you're preparing people. You're building their faith. You're addressing, you know, in your mind and in your heart, you're recognizing what is the source of their suffering, where it's coming from. And God is beginning to show you what to say, how to say it, how to help them. Maybe they got to deal with sin issues. Maybe they got to deal with forgiveness issues. Maybe they got to deal with demons. You know, these things are, you're recognizing all these things. See, you're recognizing these things, and this is preparing people. This is preparing people so that they can receive. See, now if you've done your job well, then the actual impartation is very simple. See, here it says, we've had this scripture before in Luke chapter 5, in verse 17, he was just teaching, it was on a day, there was all these guys sitting around, and it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You see, when I'm ministering and I've prepared the people and I'm flowing in the gifts of the Spirit myself, many times I just touch somebody and they get healed. Or I just speak something and somebody gets healed. I mean, it's not where I'm active. I have to really work at it. See? Because the river doesn't have to work at producing vegetation. It just happens. It's just there. See, the river doesn't have to work at producing life, because wherever it goes, it brings life. See? So if you've done your job, if you've really prepared yourself and then you've prepared the people, then the actual impartation of the healing anointing is going to be very very simple. See? That's right. Now, there are some specific things that you need to learn about imparting the anointing of healing. And that's what I want to cover with you right now. The thing that you have to understand is that you have to know what God wants to do in that situation. And the only way to know that is by revelation. You can't go by the circumstances. You can't go by people's prayer requests. You can't go by your experience in the past with a similar situation. You know, just because God healed somebody instantaneously in the past doesn't mean he's going to do it now. See? Or the fact that he didn't do it in the past doesn't mean that he isn't going to do it now. See? You got to understand what God wants to heal in that situation, what he wants to do. And this you know by a word of knowledge. By a word of knowledge. See? You know, every one of us are a walking bundle of problems. That's right. Every single one of us. I haven't met a person yet, and in all my years of ministry, over 30 years of ministry, and I've met some of the top people that everybody looks up to the average guy in the church, on the pew or in the chair. You know, I haven't met anybody who doesn't have a problem, who doesn't have at least multiple problems. I mean, serious, but sometimes serious situations that you don't even know about because they got their church smiley face on. See? But they're all of us, me included. You know, there's things in my body that probably need to get healed right now. Hallelujah. So if you laid hands on me, that God could show you things right now that need to get healed in my body. But the thing that you have to address and the thing that you have to seek for is to know what God wants to heal right now. See, what does God want to do right now? I remember seeing a whole bunch of young, mentally retarded and physically disabled children going into a restaurant one time, and my heart just went out to them. And I said, God, Holy Spirit, how would you heal people like that, someone like that? And he said to me, one part at a time. One part at a time. Now that was tremendous instruction to me. See, because I always thought that all healings were instantaneous and complete. I mean, just utterly complete everything. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Many times God wants to heal a certain part because that's where the faith is, and that's what the need is at that moment. And then it's like a sequence, like A, B, C, D. He's got to get to A first, then he can get to B, then he can get to C, then he can get to D. But if you try to go to D immediately without going through A, B, and C, you're not going to get there. See, sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. But other times, you just have to go in sequence. You just have to go in order. See? And you have to do, you can only do more or less what God tells you at that moment. See, that's the parameters in which we work. If I'm going to speak for God, if I'm going to declare His word, if I'm going to decree what He wants to do, then I need to know what He wants to do. And God shows you that by a word of knowledge. He shows you that by a word of knowledge. You can either see it, you can hear it, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can feel it, you can just know it in your spirit. You know, I simply ask God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in this situation? And He says, I want to heal their throat. He shows you their throat. Or you see the word in your spirit, you see the word throat. Okay? God wants to heal the throat. I say, throat, I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God goes to work and He heals the throat. See? Maybe somebody has another problem in their body, but God wants to heal their throat. See, so you go with what God says. Now, I can ask God, I can pray for other people, for other things to get healed, but I'm not imparting a gift of healing when I'm praying for someone. I'm only imparting a gift of healing when God has given me a revelation of what He wants to do in that situation. Then He shows me how to do it, and then I speak it forth as a command. See? I speak it forth as a command. Now, I can pray for the other things. I can ask God to heal the other things, but I won't be imparting a gift of healing because you only impart a gift of healing as God gives it to you at that moment to give to that person. By revelation and by the gifts of the Spirit. See? This is how it works. The word of knowledge tells you what God wants to do. The word of wisdom tells you how to do it, how to impart it. See? You know, I mean, there's times when Jesus did wildly different things to impart a gift of healing or to bring a miracle to pass. And each of those things were given to Him by the word of wisdom. They were given to Him by the word of wisdom. How to do it. See? How to get it done. You know, at one time He touched the guy's tongue, and the other time He spat in his ears, and the other time He made clay of his spittle and put it in the guy's eyes. That doesn't mean that every time you got a blind man, you got to make clay of your spittle and put it into his eyes. No, that was the word of wisdom in that situation. See? That was the word of wisdom. And you and I have to have the flexibility. We have to have the willingness to do whatever God says to do in that situation. You know, whether I lay hands on or I don't lay hands. Whether I stand in front or I stand behind. Or whether I touch the person here or I touch the person there. Or I have somebody else come alongside and to help me. I have somebody else come alongside and lay their hands on that person. Just as not necessarily as a word of wisdom, but just as a word of advice, that when you lay hands on a person of the opposite sex, the opposite gender, that you have someone, you know, if you're a woman and you're laying hands on a man, then you have a man lay the hands on that person, and then you lay your hand on top of their hand. See? So that there's just no confusion here. Many times when I lay hands on a woman, I'll touch her head, maybe her face, but that's it. See, unless God shows me to lay hands on some other part of her body, I'll get a woman of God, a woman who's walking in holiness and purity, to lay the hands on that part of the body, and then I'll lay my hand on top of her hand. See, still works. The impartation just goes through from my hand, through her hand, and into the other person's body. I remember I did this one time. At a conference, I was laying hands on somebody, and I needed to borrow somebody's hand. Hallelujah. I need to borrow a dear woman's hand so I could lay the hand on the other woman. And this woman, she let me, you know, I just kind of got her hand, and she cooperated. And I laid hands on her, And both of them fell into the path.
Both of them got healed.
Well, bless God forever. Hallelujah. But you see, you find out what God wants to do. You just stay quiet and just listen. You just stay quiet and just wait. See? Until He gives it to you. Just like you're waiting for a word of prophecy. Just like you're waiting for, for the interpretation of tongues. You see, you just get quiet and you wait. Until it's there. See, and it'll always come at the right time, at the right place. And if it does come, then you have the integrity to say, well, I don't have anything from God today, see, to give you. And so I'm just going to pray with you. And we're just going to pray and believe that God's going to take care of you somehow. That's right. But I don't have a gift of healing to give to you. That's right. See, you just pray and then you wait. And you know what? What happens is you may start to pray because you haven't gotten anything. You may just start to pray, and then all of a sudden the revelation comes. See? So don't worry. Just do your best and be honest. Just do your best. Be prepared. Prepare them. Be honest. And what God gives you, that's what He gives you. Bless God. That's what God wants to do that day. Hallelujah. It's not us healing people. It's God healing people through us. And I can't manufacture a gift of healing, nor can I give a gift of healing to anybody that I want to at any time, or else I'd go close all the hospitals. See? This idea that you can operate in any gift of the Spirit that you want to at any time is not what the Word teaches. The Word teaches that we are to receive the gifts by faith, but they only come as God gives them. With the exception of speaking in tongues. You can speak in tongues at any time. But the other gifts, interpretation, prophecy, miracles, healings, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the other gifts only come as the Spirit gives them, as you wait upon Him and as He gives it to you, or if He doesn't give it to you. See? That's right. You can't prophesy anytime you want to, not by the Spirit of God. You can, by faith, reach up to God and ask God for a word, and if He gives it to you, then it's His privilege. It's the same with revelation. It's the same with the gifts of healing and workings of miracles. That's right. You see, you're the natural. God is the super. And when the super and the natural come together, something supernatural happens. That's right. You're just trying to cooperate with Him. What does He want to do? He's the leader. We're being led by the Spirit. We're not leading the Spirit. See? We're being led by the Spirit. We're seeking to follow Him, and He directs us. He leads us. And when we follow Him, and we follow Him accurately, then people get blessed. The power comes. People get healed. People get delivered. See? According to their faith, and according to what God is doing at that moment. See? Now, you have authority to command healing to come. Let me show you that in the Word. You have authority to command healing to come. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 1, it says, "And He called His 12 disciples to Him." Now, are you a disciple? I'm talking about you. You listening to this tape right now. Are you a disciple? Hopefully you said yes. Hallelujah. Then this Word is to you because it's to His disciples. That's right. He gave them authority, power, authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. That's right. And to heal, you have authority to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Bless God forever. See? This is the authority that you have. You can do this. This is why it says in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. See? You've received it. You've received it. Now freely give it out. And you're commanded to do this. And if I'm commanded to do something, then I have to have the authority and the ability to do it. Now, we have to learn how to give commands. Because you'll see, and we'll do this very quickly, I think. We'll go through records in the Gospels, and you'll never find a record in the Gospels where Jesus asked His Father to heal anybody. He didn't. Because He had the authority to bring healing. That's right. As the Holy Spirit led Him, He had the authority to bring healing, and He would simply command it to come. Look at before we do that, go to Mark chapter 16. And he said to them, verse 15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. See, this is talking to us. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. If you are a believer, then these signs are supposed to follow you. They're supposed to be in evidence. In my name, they will cast out demons. This is your job. You're supposed to be doing this. The fact that you haven't done it most likely it's the problem with whoever taught you, that they didn't teach you this stuff. So it's probably not your fault. It's most likely the fault of the pastors or the leaders or the teachers or whoever you sat under, because they didn't teach you to cast out demons. I'm teaching you to do it. See? Now it's going to be your responsibility. Because if you're a believer, you're supposed to cast out demons. You're supposed to speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You see, you have authority to do these things. Now, you have to learn how to use your authority. That's right. And you do not ask the Father to heal someone. You take authority and you command the healing to come. If God gives you a gift of healing, then you command that healing to come. That's right. Bless God forever. You see, Jesus never asked his Father to heal anybody. He commanded healing. Now look at this. Look at John chapter 11. Here he was, raising the dead. This is how to do it. You want to learn how to raise somebody from the dead? When he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He commanded Lazarus to come forth. Hallelujah. He commanded. He did the praying beforehand. And that praying that he did beforehand was primarily to bless the people. But because he already knew from his Father what he was going to do. And then he got up there, and when they'd opened the tomb and everything was taken, every problem was dealt with, he simply commanded it to come forth. He commanded it. See? Now you and I got to learn to command. Here in Mark chapter 3, in verse 5, see? Here was this man on the Sabbath, and he was in the temple, and Jesus wanted to heal him. And he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. He said to the man, verse 5, Mark chapter 3, stretch out your hand. He commanded it to come to pass. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. See? Wherever the river is, there's going to be life. And here we're looking at the example of him who is the river. He's within us, so that we should be doing the same works that he did. And when we do these works, we command them to come to pass. Hallelujah. You see, the reason why we haven't seen many miracles in the past is because, first of all, we've been dry stream beds. We haven't been full of the Word. We haven't been full of the Spirit. And secondly, we've asked God to do something that he's told us to do. Said, oh God, bring the healing. Oh God, would you please heal this person? No, he says, you do it. You tell them, stretch forth your hand. You tell them, Lazarus, come forth. Bless God forever. See, this is how it works. This is how it works. In Luke chapter 11, verse 20, how do you cast out demons? It says in verse 20, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, hallelujah, bless God forever, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. You know? It's like I tell people, in self-defense, you don't need martial arts. You just need a good finger. Hallelujah. I got stories for that I can tell you about. But the authority that you have when you represent God is that the power of God is behind you. It's the finger of God that you're putting on somebody. Bless God forever. Hallelujah. You don't need martial arts. You need a good finger. Bless God forever. And he cast out demons by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll see it here. Now, look at this. Look at my favorite healing record in the Word of God that I covered, I think, in the last segment, the last take. But again, it's a command. Jesus put out his hand to the leper. Remember I told you the story about the leper? We read it here in the Word. Jesus put out his hand and embraced him. He touched him. He embraced him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Be cleansed. You see, you need to learn how to give a command. And I spoke to one of my friends, one of my wonderful brothers, Don Darling, who was a former Marine Corps officer. And we came to the conclusion that there were three things that had to be involved with giving a command. First of all, you had to determine what needed to be done. That's right. Here Jesus determined that this man needed to be cleansed. Secondly, you have to determine who, under your authority, you need to give the command to. Now, we just read in Matthew chapter 10 that demons are under our authority, that diseases are under our authority. So in this situation, it's a disease, leprosy. And so he simply commanded that leprosy to come out of that body. He commanded it to be cleansed. He commanded. And then the third thing is that you simply and forcefully, it doesn't have to be loud, but it's got to be forceful. It's got to have the force of the Spirit of God behind it. That's right. It's got to be, you just give a clear and a forceful command. You speak it out. It's not something you're requesting. It's not something you're asking the disease to do. You're not asking the disease if it wants to come out. Or you're not asking the demon if it wants to come out. Your command is to get out now. See? Just like throwing a dog out of the house. That's right. Bless God forever. I don't coax the dog out of the house. I grab it by the scruff of the neck and throw it out. See? I give a command. I say out. I don't ask if it wants to come out and go out. I get it out. That's right. And that's what you do. You find out what needs to be done. You find out who's under your authority. And then you simply command it to come. You say, do it now. You see how simple that is? That's how simple it is. And diseases and demons will listen to you because you're representing God. You're representing Jesus Christ. That's what it means to speak in the name of someone. You see, I speak in the name of Jesus Christ because I know that I have His authority. I know that I'm His representative in that situation. He has spoken to me. He has told me what He wants me to do, what He wants to do in that situation. I'm simply the vessel through whom He's carrying it out. I'm speaking it out as His voice. See? The Word of Knowledge tells you what God wants to do. The Word of Wisdom tells you how to do it. And then the gift of faith is operated by a command. You command it. You command it. You say, well, I've never given a command before. Well, practice on your kids. Practice on your dog, whatever. Learn to tell things and people what to do. See, you can do this. You have the boldness of Christ in you. You have the Lamb of God. You have the Lion of Judah within you. You have His nature. You have His force. You have His strength within you. I don't care if you're just a little woman and you've never done this before, or you're just a young man and you've never done this before. You've got Him within you. He's within you. You're not relying on your strength. You're relying on His strength. So speak like the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. Speak like a man or a woman of God. Hallelujah. And that thing will run. You'll see demons leave. You'll see diseases leave people's bodies. Hallelujah. I've seen this stuff. Just go. Just come right at them and go out the door. Bless God forever. And they're healed. See? You got a command. You got to give a command. You got to give a command. You got to give a command. Don't start praying for people. Ask God, pray to God and ask God to give you a word to speak as a command. See? Look at Acts chapter 3. I love this. Peter and John going up to the temple. They saw the man who was lame from his mother's womb. They get down here in verse 6, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. See? But what I do have, in other words, God has given me a gift to give to you today, pal. I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ, as his representative, I say, rise up and walk. See how simple that is? See how simple that is? You see, when you've got it, then you can give it. Freely you have received, not freely give. That's why the preparation part is so key to the whole thing. Because if I got it, then I can give it. I can't give something I don't have. But if I've got it, then I can give it. You know, they probably passed this man many times before this day. But they didn't have anything to give to him. Maybe they gave him a little bit of money or whatever else, but they didn't have any gift of healing to give to him. Because you only have a gift of healing when God gives you that gift to give. See? When you've coveted earnestly the best gift, and then you've received that gift that day to give to that person, he said, now I can say, well, what I do have, I'm going to give you in the name of Jesus Christ as his representative, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. See? I love it. I just love this stuff. I give commands all the time. Hopefully I do it under the right authority at the right time. But I love this. See? You don't have to beg God. You don't have to plead with God. You don't have to, you know, cry your eyes out. Just get in the presence of God, receive the gift, and then go give it to somebody. See? That's right. Bless God forever. Look at chapter 9. Verse 34. This is Peter ministering to Aeneas. This reminds me of me, you know, ministering to my children. Aeneas. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Bless God forever. You see, no request in there, no prayer, no begging, no, just do it. Get up. And he arose immediately. And so that all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. You see, that's the purpose of the gift of the Spirit, is to make you an effective witness of Jesus Christ. And the most effective witnesses was when you heal people. Because the Muslims can't heal anyone. You know, the witch doctors can't heal anyone. The secular humanists can't heal anyone. When you can deliver the goods, the gospel, you make Jesus Christ relevant in somebody's life, then they're going to believe and get saved. That's right. That's right. You never argue the Bible versus the Koran. That's a waste of time. Never do that. Just show them the power of the living God. Show them the Jesus, the Christ who makes them whole. That's right. Rise and make your bed. Hallelujah. I love it. Look down here at verse 40. Here's this. He goes down to Joppa and he's really feeling good now. You know, he's excited. Old Peter's blessed, you know. He gets in there to Joppa, and it turns out this woman named Tabitha, she died, you know. And they, instead of burying her, they later in an upper room. And this is really unusual because this demonstrates their faith. You know, I was thinking about this when I was preparing, because most times when somebody dies, they just go out and bury them immediately. You read that in Acts chapter 5. It says it wasn't even 3 hours after Ananias died that he was already buried. That's right. Then Sapphira comes in and, you know, they have to go out and bury her too. See? But here, this woman, this Tabitha, this Dorcas woman, they didn't bury her because they knew Peter was in town. They said, oh, we're going to give Peter a shot at raising her from the dead. Hallelujah. They washed her and they laid her in the upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay coming to them. And Peter arose and went with them. And when they had come, they brought him into the upper room. They did all these things. And Peter put them out and knelt down and prayed. Okay, he prayed then. But then he didn't. Then when he got up from his prayer time, you see, he went into the presence of God, received that anointing that he needed. He may have spent 2-3 hours, may have been 5 minutes, I don't know how long, but he went into the presence of God, he received that anointing, and then he turned to the body and he said, Tabitha, arise. Arise. You see, he didn't even say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you know in your heart that you're representing Jesus Christ, you don't have to say the words. You just say, what God gives you to say. When I know in my heart that I am representing Jesus Christ, then I don't even have to say in the name of Jesus Christ. I just have to declare what he wants done. Same in verse 34. He just said, arise and make your bed. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and make your bed. That's right. Bless God forever. You see, in the name means in the authority of. Now there's times, and there you'll see it here in the next record, where you use the name. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. I just want you to understand that your faith is in your authority is in as his representative. In the name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless God forever. Now look at Acts chapter 16. Oh, we got verse 14. Chapter 14 first. Verse 10. Paul saw this guy, and again, he doesn't say in the name of Jesus Christ. He was preaching the word, and he saw this guy had faith to be healed. In verse 10, he said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. He commanded it, and the man responded. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Do you see that? You command it, and people will respond. God shows you what he wants you to do. He shows you how to do it, and then you command it to come to pass. See? Look at chapter 16, verse 18. Paul, greatly annoyed, this is this woman that had the spirit of Python. That's right. And she had been following them many days and saying this crazy stuff. Paul, greatly annoyed, and that word greatly annoyed doesn't mean that he finally got upset at her. It means that he was moved by the Spirit. If he was going to get emotionally upset with her, he would have done that a long time ago. He didn't get emotionally upset with her. He was moved by the Spirit. Now turn your tape over.